going from this world to the next world. If you focus on Beulah Land, you will definitely make Beulah Land your home. Amen? Praise God. I am the father of the bride-to-be. My life has been chaotic for the last 3 months. Everything revolves around the wedding. And I had no earthly idea what it takes to put together a wedding. There's 150 trips to the store to buy a little of this and a bit of that and more of this. And it just went on and on and on. And we're still not done. It's a wonderful thing. I love my daughter. And I'm really excited about Noah Strand. If we can keep him alive, he just put this boat together. And I went over to see this boat. It's about as long as this pulpit here. It's got an 85 horse power engine on it. And I'm thinking, now, where are the seats? Well, you kind of lay back like this. And if you have any idea, 85 horses on a boat that's 12, maybe 10 feet long, you won't be able to see them coming. You'll just be able to see them go. And my daughter, my most prized possession, is going to be there with the wind blowing. Praise God. I love Noah. Excited about. Now, the trick here is to bring this back into a spiritual sense. Praise God. I believe God's given me this message. Began to work on it, and it was sort of, you know, sometimes God, you're wondering if this is what God wants you to speak on, and then someone, you run into somebody, and it pretty much confirms in your heart what God really wants to do. And this week I was getting my wedding suit fitted, and as I was talking to the lady who was fitting me for the suit, she said, "You're a pastor." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "I'm just suffering from a broken heart. My very best friend passed away unexpectedly," and she began to pour her heart out to me and tried to console her a little bit. Before I could get into Jesus, she said, "But things are going much better because my therapist, sorry, Devin, is working me through these things, and I'm taking some pills and potions and things, so now I'm pretty much being able to cope with it." But I'm preaching this morning is, can God heal a broken heart? Not fix it, not put a bandage on it, but can he actually heal it so the pain is gone? Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke, the 4th chapter, in the 18th verse, very familiar passage of Scripture for many of us. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Praise God. You know, the world has a system out there, and if you would take on your internet, if you have one, in Google, the symptoms of a broken heart, you'd get a couple thousand websites. If you had solutions to a broken heart, you'd have even more. And there are so many solutions that the world has. And it's mostly a Band-Aid fix. It's not necessarily something that you could consider permanent. But they have actually proven now, Mayo Clinic, I believe, had done a study. A study was several thousand people who had experienced what they would call a pseudo heart attack based upon the stress and the symptoms. All the symptoms were the same that you would have in a regular heart attack, that the heart actually enlarged and people became very ill. But when they checked their heart, they actually did not have a heart attack. But, you know, when you're going through one of these meltdowns, one of these heart attacks, if you will, everything just sort of loses focus. You become disorientated. Your job, your friends, and even sometimes God doesn't have any real... Everything is just going 100 miles an hour. You can feel physical pain. The joy that you once experienced is no longer there. And you really, in the world, my heart goes out to folks who have never had the experience that we have here at Calvary Gospel Church. The world does their very dead level best to try to take care of the symptoms of a broken heart. And they have drugs that will keep you from being depressed, and they have therapists that will come alongside of you and help work your way through some of these issues. But with all the things that are happening in the world, and people are losing their jobs, there are things happening in the natural realm. Consider living in Mississippi or Louisiana or one of these areas that, you know, yesterday you had a beautiful home and today you have nothing, literally nothing. And, you know, you just don't know. How do you cope with these things? So this is what I want to bring to your attention this morning. I believe with all my heart that God is able and willing to heal your broken heart. God is very predictable. There's certain things in the scripture that you can rest assured that if you follow certain things, God will reciprocate with. For example, sowing and receiving. You're going to receive exactly what you sow in this life. Giving and receiving. All these principles that God has set forth, there's a principle here that we're going to explore this morning, and it has to do with a broken heart. So we want to know what God's perspective is on your situation this morning. If you're here today and you don't really know why you're responding to certain things the way you are, maybe this will help you get a bearing on life and get a bearing on some of the root causes for these things. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 34, verse number 18. Praise God. The Bible says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Now, the word nigh here means that God is standing. Now, God's omnipresent, so we know that it's not just people with broken hearts, but people with broken hearts are prime candidates for a move of God in their life. The word contrite here comes from a word that means crushed. I mean, crushed spirit, broken down, oppressed. And many times it could be sin or troubles. Sins in weights, the Apostle Paul said. And the implication in this word crush is that it's been hammered, that someone took a hammer and just beat on it and beat on it and beat on it. And kind of that's the way sin is and can be in your life, or circumstances that keep coming at you time and time again. Praise God. Jeremiah 23 and 29 says this, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" I believe with all my heart that God is waiting for us to make the acknowledgement that we're ready for the next move. Sometimes it's like, you know, a lady that who is with child, and you know, everybody knows there's certain signs, there's certain things going on in their life that when it gets to a certain point, you know that something's going to happen. And I believe that heaven's at high alert when you are suffering from some kind of situation in your life, that your heart's been broken. And I believe that God is going to save those who are in this circumstance. You know, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. These are the two prerequisites that I see in the Bible. These are characteristics of true repentance. When somebody truly repents, their spirit, their will to resist is gone. They will readily accept God's solution no matter what it might be. The pride, all the things that stand in the way of God healing your heart are broke down. They are crushed. A contrite spirit. It's hammered down by the circumstances of life. And godly sorrow will lead you to a relationship with the Almighty God, to salvation. From Hagar in the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, we see one circumstance after another where God is so concerned with the brokenhearted. He's so concerned with those who are weeping and crying. Most of you know the story of Hagar, that was Sarah's handmaiden. And she had risen to the top of the food chain, so to speak, in this encampment because she had become the one chosen to bear a child for Abraham. Oh, I can imagine, Brother Grant, she was really feeling good about this. And so she bore the child. His name was Ishmael. And no sooner did she have the small child and things didn't go so well. And Sarah began to complain to Abraham, so they cast Hagar out of the camp. Genesis 21 and 16. And she went and sat down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. And she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lift up her voice, and she wept. Her heart was broken. Now God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel called out to Hagar out of heaven. A heavenly response because one little slave girl had a broken heart. "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." And we all know the end of that story. Ishmael became the father of the 12 tribes of the Arab nations. And then we have another example of Hannah in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 1 and 15. Hannah was unable to bear children. The Bible says that her womb was closed up. And she was not going to take no for an answer. She wept and she cried and she sought God. And she got to the temple to give her sacrifice. And the priest Eli said, "I think this woman has been drinking." He confronted her what was going on in her heart. And she was visibly shaken. 1 Samuel 1 and 15, "And Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit.'" In other words, "I haven't been drinking. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." We know the rest of that story was that God opened up her womb, and she dedicated that small child to the Lord. And out of that woman's weeping and crying, God gave us a Samuel. Hezekiah, the king of Israel at the time, was told by the prophet in 2 Kings 20 and 1. The Bible says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, 'Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live.'" The message was not exactly what the king had in mind. I don't know about you, but if the prophet of God came to my house, that would shake me up. The Bible says, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, 'I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight.'" And the Bible says, "And Hezekiah wept sore, and God graciously healed his broken heart and gave him 15 more years. We could go on and on. We could talk to you about the Mary coming to the tomb of Jesus Christ, and she was weeping. She was crying. She was broken. The Bible says that the Lord appeared to her. He says, "Mary, Mary, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou?" She said, "Don't you know what's happened here? They have crucified my Lord." And he finally told her that, "It is I, but don't touch me." I believe he was on his way ascending up to heaven. The Bible says, "I have not yet ascended up, so don't touch me." But the tears of Mary, who had had seven devils cast out of her, brought Jesus Christ to a visible manifestation. God hears the cries of the brokenhearted. Now, some of us, Brother O'Neill, came through this broken heart experience, and it was not based upon a loss. It was not based upon anything other than poor decisions. And I made a bunch of them for 36 years. I made a lot of bad decisions. And there comes a time, the Bible says, as a man sows, so shall he reap. And sin had literally stripped from my life everything that I thought was important. I had a business, and that was taken. I had a home, and that was repossessed. And my marriage fell apart, and my wife and my children, who allegedly that's why I was doing all this, were taken. And they left. And there was nothing left, so I came back to Wisconsin. I didn't have any idea what I was going to do, but my heart was broken. I would wake up in the middle of the night, and I was weeping. I would cry, and I was, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Am I going to be an old man? I wasn't praying. Let me just reiterate that. I didn't know God. I don't recall ever praying before I came to this church. I may have done some foxhole prayers in Vietnam, but nothing that I would consider to be a real prayer. I never had read my Bible, and in fact, I don't even recall believing that there was a God. I'd never one time in my life experienced anything like I went through. But when your heart is broken, it takes your breath away. There's pain inside of you that just is unbearable. And God was preparing me. God was making my pseudo-world. He just tore it all away from me. And in the midst of all that, God was preparing me for a heart transplant. He was preparing this old boy for something much better. And he had to strip away those things that I thought were so important. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel 36:26. God is a delicate surgeon who can reconstruct your heart in a way that you never thought possible. The Bible says, old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. And it's all because of this new heart. Ezekiel 36:26, the Bible says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Does that ring a bell here with anybody? A new heart and a new spirit? A new heart and a new spirit? Wow. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you. If you're here today with issues of life or a broken heart or perhaps not even understanding why you are responding to the world like you are, I want you to know you can leave this place today with a complete new heart. You can come out of here a person, the Bible says, that never before existed. You know, in the world, there's a lot of people that will actually die before you can find a heart for them, because finding a donor is not everybody wants to give up their heart, and obviously, it's a very rare commodity. So many people die without that heart, unless you belong to Calvary Gospel Church, and we just raise people from the dead, Brother Merkin. Hallelujah. You know, the same is true if someone is suffering from a broken heart. If you're a visitor of ours here today, I want you to know I don't believe you're here by accident. I believe God has called you to this place. You know, it's always a race to see who's going to get to the broken heart first. The devil does his dead level best to get to you before God does. And what he wants to do is put bitterness in your heart. He wants to put strife in your spirit. He wants to give you an unforgiving spirit. He wants you to get revenge. He wants to seek you, to kill you, and to destroy you. He'll get you convinced that the best way out of this is addictions. Get involved in drugs. Get involved in alcohol. Get involved in those things that will cause you further problems. He'll put fear in your heart. But I want you to know this new heart still beating strong for Jesus 33 years ago. Hallelujah. In fact, I look back at the circumstances and I praise God for every single thing that happened to me, because I was stubborn and no one was going to tell me anything. Oh, hallelujah. But I know this, I was once blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. The glory of God can come into your heart. You know, over the years, Brother Grant, I've seen so many people who have been born again struggle with their walk with God. And I believe if you understand this message, you'll understand that sometimes, you know, just because you've been born again of the water and the Spirit does not mean that you've given your whole heart to God. God takes you just the way you are. If he can get his foot in the door, so to speak, he will take what you can give him at the time. But there's a problem here. If you're not growing, if you have broken heart issues, and some of these issues you haven't even addressed, you need God to open up your heart. And I'll tell you the reason why. We have a commandment in Mark 12:30. The Bible says, if you love Jesus, you will keep his commandments. The very first commandment, Brother O'Neill, is Mark 12:30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Everybody say, all thy heart. That kind of puts a damper on you holding anything back, doesn't it? You can't hold back your problem with anger because of something happened in your past. You can't hold something back because of your health. You can't hold something back because of your divorce many, many years ago. With all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If you can't get by this commandment, then it's pretty obvious that you cannot get to the rest of them. You can do all these other things and become an active member here at Calvary Gospel Church, but God wants everything you have. Body, soul, mind, and spirit. Praise God. And it begins with a heart transplant. Now, this is not as easy as it sounds. I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because there are parts of our heart that we're not even aware of being damaged or being hurt or being broken. It's hidden in our subconscious mind. It was put there by words that were spoken untimely. It was sometimes people have a broken heart because they didn't feel the love from their mother and their father. Perhaps never had a mother and a father. Perhaps the things that were said were cruel. You know, the heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. It's deceitful above all things. So for you to understand what's in your heart, it takes a heart transplant. It takes a God who cares about you. Otherwise, you're never going to know what's really happening in your heart. You'll wonder, why can I not pray like I need to pray? Why can I not fast? Why are these things so difficult for me? Could it be, my friend, that part of your heart is still broken? And if God's standing at the doorstep knocking, please let me in. You know, divorce can be very, very painful, particularly to children, but for adults as well. Sometimes small children have their hearts broken by the actions of other people. Years ago, I had a bus route, and I've been knocking on doors. I don't know, I probably told this story here before, but it was hot. It was a Saturday afternoon, and man, I felt, when you're on the bus route on Saturday, sometimes you get this idea that, woe is me. Here I am out there doing, I'm not thinking about the choir that's practicing 10 hours. I'm not thinking about all the other ministry, but it's all about me. I'm thinking, man, I just went to this apartment building and I briefly did my little round, but I didn't go into any of the corners of the building because it was dark back there and I didn't like it back there. So I got in my car to start driving away, and all of a sudden, you know, God doesn't speak to me off that loudly, but he says, wait a minute. I said, yes, Lord. He said, I did not ask you to glean the field. Ooh. He said, go back. Knock the fields in the corners. So, oh. Okay. So I went back, and the very first door I knocked on, the very first one, the door opens, and there's the mother and the father, and find out there's four kids in there. Invite them to church. They said, we'd love to come. We've been looking for a church. So the story doesn't end there. They became members here at Calvary Gospel Church. The father was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Four of the kids were. Brother Cohn probably remembers them. But the mother, who I thought was a stable person in the whole family, she didn't seem to be able to get past. She couldn't. She'd come up the altar, but she would never break. She just, there was a stronghold in her heart someplace that God, see, if you don't mend your broken heart, if God doesn't do it, the devil will. He will set up a stronghold around your heart. It doesn't make any difference what issue it is, but he'll make sure that you can't even see it, but it will cause responses in your life that will be detrimental to your walk with God. You follow what I'm saying? So anyway, here she is at the altar, and I stopped over her house on a Saturday, and I asked her, I said, could you tell me why you cannot seem to even hardly pray? And she, all of a sudden, I saw this tear come down her face, and she said, well, she says, I saw this pain come over her face, and she began to tell me the story. If you're anybody is looking here to become involved in ministry, get a bus route. It's the closest you'll ever come to being a pastor without being a pastor. She said, well, here's what happened, and the pain was just so visible. Her tears were flowing down her cheeks. She said, when I was a young preteen girl, I guess she was 11 at the time, she said, my father used to take me to poker games because if he lost, that mean I'd have to pay off the poker debt. And it was unbelievable. She was weeping and crying. Now I'm weeping and crying too, but I couldn't even imagine why anybody could do that. But they had, and her heart was broken. And I remember, you know, sometimes you don't have anything you can say to people. You just say, would you lift up your hands? I said, God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And no sooner did we lay hands on her, and she received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. This is, God is nigh. He is close. He is ready. He is willing to heal the brokenhearted. You don't have to go on a 10-day fast. You don't have to know much about the Bible. All you have to have is a need that cannot be solved by the world nor the things of the world. The devil had convinced her that she was unworthy, that somehow she had played a part in this craziness, and that she was guilty. He had convinced her that. And when Jesus came in to her heart, even though that pain had been there for over 30 years, God delivered her on the spot. All things are possible to those who believe. When God comes into your heart, my friend, I don't care where you have come from or what's happened, he binds up the wound. He pours in the oil of the Holy Ghost, and he makes a way where there was no way. Psalms 147, verse number 3, the Bible says he heals the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. Boy, anybody here still have wounds? Anybody here still struggling with some wounds of the past? Do you know that God is here today to bind them up, to heal them, to scrape out all the dead stuff that's been festering in there, and all the, you know, the disappointments and all the fears and all the things that go on in our minds, and he's wanting to deliver you. Praise God. There may be someone here today that's grieving from a loss, and you should be over it, but it's still there, and you have never given it to God, and he's never been able to heal it. You know, for God to heal your broken heart, you have to give him all the pieces. You can't hold anything back. No matter how painful it is, no matter how difficult it might be, you have to reopen that portion. You have to take that stronghold and rip it away. And you have to get down on your hands and knees, and you need to allow God to take it. I'm talking to church people here now. I'm not just talking about, people in the church, once you're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're on fire for God, and you don't even remember those things. You don't even think about those things, and suddenly, you know, you get to a certain spot in your walk with God, and you can't go any further. You can't figure it out. You never even think about the fact that there's areas in your life that need to be addressed. Praise God. He has to have all the pieces. Jesus said, I have come to give you peace. Peace that passeth all human understanding. He says, not as the world gives you, give I thee. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Oh, I said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Several years ago, I was asked to teach a Bible study over on the north side of Madison. And the first time I went over there, I really didn't know the couple, but I went in, the room's filled with smoke, and they're both chain smokers, and it really helped my asthma, but I... How are you? So we went through the formal thing, and we sat down, and this lady began to explain to me all these things that had happened to her in her life. And you couldn't have written a novel, if you couldn't went to Hollywood and said, ma'am, surely this can't all be true. But as she began to speak, all these stories came out, and it was horrible. She was raised in a home that the father was an alcoholic who physically abused her with his fist and other things that I won't even mention. So she finally ran away from all that and ran into the arms of another alcoholic, her husband. And that man was an alcoholic, and he was a physical abuser. Would you believe that he hurt her so bad? She had a multitude of surgeries, but you know, her heart was broken, and she again was convinced that somehow she had been part of the problem. She never even considered that there was an answer. She never thought there was a solution. See, most churches around are not going to tell you that God is a deliverer and is a healer, and you don't need all of these other band-aid things. You need deliverance. Amen. Praise God. She was on SSI for injuries, for medication addiction. She was on methadone. She was on antidepressants. And as she told the story, she was weeping. She says, God doesn't care, nor can he help me. I said, ma'am, I didn't know what to say, Brother Grant. What do you tell somebody? Well, take our 12-lesson Bible study, and this will really work for you. I said, would you do me a favor? I said, can I pray for you right now? I said, I believe right now God can. She didn't know anything about the Bible. Open up the book of Genesis. She could have had it upside down, looked at Revelation. She didn't know anything. I said, would you lift up your hands and would you let me pray that God would deliver you from all this pain and suffering? She lifted up her hands and bam, God filled her. She was speaking in tongues as she hit the floor in the name of Jesus Christ. God is nigh unto them who have a broken heart and a crushed spirit. Don't for any reason turn away from somebody that might have a horror story, because listen, God's able to reconstruct. God is able to fix them. Isaiah 61:1. Praise God. And of course, this is the passage of scripture that Jesus was reading on the day that he stood up in the temple and declared who he was. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. When you are being held captive by your thoughts and by experiences of the past, trust me, you are as bound as if you were in prison. If you are living based upon those circumstances, God has a plan for you today. Praise God. Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Anybody here ever mourned? It's not a pleasant thing, is it? But if you're still mourning over things that happened 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, I know people that are still weeping over things that happened 20, 25 years ago. That's not right. That's a broken heart that God wants to heal. If you'd stand with me this morning, I don't know who this message is for, but I do know this. Someone in this room today is going to receive their deliverance. Because the Word of God has given us the authority and power to call upon His name. And if you just lift up your hands for a moment here. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is here this morning. He's walking down these aisles as your hands are lifted up. He's here to comfort all that are mourn. He's here to give the garment of praise. He wants to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Who would like to be the first one to come down and receive this brand new heart? Or perhaps you've been here for 25 years, and I'd like everybody to pray right now. God, help me let go. Would you say that? God, help me let go. God, show me. God, show me what needs to be fixed. Cause me, Lord, to give it to you. God is here this morning to heal, to deliver, to take old things out of your heart, to give you a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. Would you come this morning? If you're looking to be renewed, and perhaps some of you have never had the full victory, we have people here that will come and pray with you. If you're still dealing with addictions or things, listen, God delivers. If your heart's broken, He will mend it.
Yes.
If you're here this morning and you've never had this first-time experience, you've never, ever thought there was more. Some people come here and they don't have no idea that there's more to their walk with God than what they perhaps experienced. And this can happen. When I came to this church, I didn't know that you had to be born again. All I knew in my heart when I came down this aisle and Brother O'Neill was preaching, I needed God. He pulled me down to this aisle. I needed relief. I had so much pain in my spirit. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you have that pain. Now the question I ask you, are you willing to allow God to fix it, to heal it? For that to happen, you must give Him all of the pieces of your heart. Would you come as the musicians play?